calling it the defining moment of our time. President Joe Biden opened the Summit on Democracy, urging democratic nations to promote their principles.
As a global community for democracy, we have to stand up for the values that unite us. We have to stand for justice and the rule of law, for free speech, free assembly, a free press, freedom of religion, and for all the inherent human rights of every individual.
He didn't mention either China or Russia by name. They weren't invited, but he urged allies to show the world democracies are a far better vehicle for societies than autocracies. Biden noted the challenges countries like the U.S. face from autocrats and despots seeking to undermine democracy by in part using technology to foment divisions and partisanship. The summit comes as a recent report from the International Institute of Democracy and Electoral Assistance notes more than half of all democracies in the world have experienced a decline in at least one aspect of their democracy over the last 10 years, including the U.S. The report notes a backslide in voting rights. States are passing laws to limit access to the ballot, making it more difficult for Americans to vote. And the January 6th attack at the Capitol has left many in former President Donald Trump's Republican Party clinging to his false claims of a stolen election, eroding trust in the electoral process. That's why Biden says his administration is working to pass two key pieces of legislation.
That will shore up the very foundation of American democracy. The sacred right of every person to make their voice heard through free, fair, and secure elections. We need to enact what we call the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act to prevent voting discrimination, provide baselines for accessing the ballot box, and ensure the will of the voters is upheld, and so much more. We should be making it easy for people to vote, not harder. And that's going to remain a priority for my administration until we get it done. Inaction is not an option.
Beyond rhetoric, the president also announced he was launching an initiative to spend up to $424 million for programming around the world that supports press freedoms, anti-corruption work, and more. More than 100 nations were invited to take part, as well as human rights groups and advocates. Attendees included leaders from Denmark, Ghana, New Zealand, South Korea, Zambia, Amnesty International, the NAACP, and the United Nations. The summit drew backlash from adversaries, Russia and China. Their ambassadors to the U.S. wrote a joint essay describing the Biden administration as exhibiting a Cold War mentality that will stoke up ideological confrontation and a rift in the world. A panel on political prisoners featured Uyghurs speaking about their experience of oppression in China. And a panel on corruption included a Ukrainian anti-corruption group outlining Russia's efforts with oligarchs to undermine Ukraine's democratic sovereignty. Daria Kalinyuk is executive director of the Anti-Corruption Action Center in Ukraine.
There are 200,000 troops on the border of Ukraine. I'm talking to you from Kyiv, and Kyiv is, you know, announcing how to evacuate people. So we are preparing to war. But we know that these 200,000 troops prepared by the Kremlin regime to attack Ukraine were sent by Putin in order to protect his right to steal and rob Russian people and its natural resources. And they know that they won't be able to continue if Ukraine succeeds. If Ukraine succeeds in building rule of law, in building strong institutions, when Ukrainian people will be able to live in dignity.
Other uninvited countries also showed their displeasure. Hungary, the only European Union member not invited, tried unsuccessfully to block the EU Commission's president from speaking on behalf of the bloc at the summit. Last year, Biden referred to Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban as a thug. Democratic world leaders at the summit delivered their own remarks, many reflecting on the stress that rapidly evolving technology is having on their nations. They also bemoaned the increase of disinformation campaigns aimed at undermining institutions and elections. Seizing on the moment, back in the U.S., House Democrats announced they passed reforms to strengthen democracy. After 4 years of Donald Trump in the White House, Los Angeles Democrat Adam Schiff says the Protecting Democracy Act will put greater checks and balances on the executive branch.
Today, the Congress took up the Protecting Our Democracy Act to address many of the vulnerabilities that the last 4 years exposed. Of particular significance, the bill would expedite enforcement of congressional subpoenas. A Congress that cannot enforce its subpoenas is no more a Congress than a court would remain a court without the power to compel witnesses to testify at trial. Instead, it becomes a kind of plaything for a despot. The bill's provisions address many of the deficiencies revealed, not as a punishment of the last president who is now beyond legislative reach, but to guard against any future president of either party who would be tempted to make themselves a king.
If passed in the Senate, the Protecting Democracy Act would limit a president's pardoning power, extend the deadline for prosecuting former presidents and vice presidents for federal crimes committed before or during their time in office, and require transparency of presidential candidates' tax records, among other provisions. It's unclear if it would pass a divided Senate. That, in part, is why Schiff is advocating for a carve-out of the filibuster, allowing a majority for what he calls crucial legislation to strengthen democracy. I'm Christina Onestet, reporting for KPFA.